Hey, comedy fans, welcome to episode 155 of the Comedy at the Carlson cast. I'm your host. My name is Vinny. Joining me in studio today is our pal Jamie Kennedy. This episode is brought to you by our good friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, drink responsibly, do good things, and always be kind. This episode is also brought to you by Freshly Brewed Comedy, Comedy at the Carlson Satellite Open Mic, every Sunday night at Boulder Cafe and Lounge, located at 100 South Avenue in the South Wedge. Sign up for comics to perform at 6:30 p.m., showtime is 7 p.m. And lastly, the Funniest Person in Rochester contest. You think you're funny, you want to win $1,000? If you're interested in entering or want more information, simply visit carlsoncontest.com. Good morning, Carlson casters. My guest today is a star of television, film, and stage. You may know him best from the Scream movie franchise. It is early, folks. Sorry. His hit TV series, The Jamie Kennedy Experience, or his latest stand-up special, Stupid Smart, which is currently available wherever you listen to comedy. He's also our headliner this weekend here at the Carlson. There's four more shows here. It is Jamie Kennedy. Good morning, Jamie.
How are you, brother? Good to see you, man.
Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, how would I not? how would I not want to have you on?
You're
honestly one of the more interesting people
really?
That I get to have chats with.
Wow, that's a compliment, being that you talk to comedians every week.
And I talk to a lot of great comedians.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you are upper echelon. Wow, I'm having a hard time this morning.
It's early, you know
upper
what I'm saying?
Echelon. That's the word.
Echelon. It's all right, I'm with you.
The upper echelon of interesting to me.
No, thank you.
I've been following your podcast too. Like, I just think you're an interesting guy. I think you take you have a lot of interesting stances.
Oh.
I think you think out your positions very well, and you present them quite reasonably, as opposed to some podcasts I've listened to.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I want to as we were talking about this, I was thinking about taking on the big one that everyone's talking about right now, but I have to do more research on it, which is abortion.
Yeah, that's a big conversation right
now.
Yeah, but JB, in a way, didn't you kind of already?
I know.
Didn't you kind of already? You did a movie. Was it 2020?
I did a movie in 20. Actually, when I was last time I was here, I did it in the summer of 2018.
Okay.
And then it couldn't get any distribution because it was considered too one way,
right?
And then the pandemic hit, and then it came out during the pandemic, and it was Roe v. Wade.
The movie is called Roe v. Wade.
And I caught a lot of heat on it.
We're living the sequel right now.
We really are. I caught a lot of heat in Hollywood about it. But, you know, it's not just so much to it. It's much longer than this. But it's basically I was acting in a movie. But I learned a lot of different things. Now, the question is, what are the facts, right? So
sure.
I learned a lot from what they showed me. And then I learned a lot what, you know, the other side of the coin showed me. So it's... the truth is probably somewhere in the middle.
You know what's interesting to me? So many people in Hollywood tend to get upset by, you know, content that they don't agree with.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
Content that you don't agree with. You know, if it's not for you, my stance, move past it. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But all you did was act in a movie.
That's all I did.
Playing a character. And people gave you crap.
A historical character.
Right.
Who was under the tutelage of a woman by the name of Margaret Sanger. Who's basically the forefounder of, like, my character.
I believe Planned Parenthood. Right?
Yeah, I actually believe my character was one of the founders of Planned Parenthood, and he stood under Margaret Sanger, who people that you would say are staunchly on the left, they really love Margaret Sanger, but you can look her up, and she was a eugenicist. She had a lot of eugenicists in her,
yeah.
And that's terrible.
That's not a good one, guys.
Yeah, so I don't know. It might be too early to go down this rabbit hole. But
it's an interesting part to play.
Yeah, it's a great part. Not a lot of people don't offer me cool parts like that. They did. And not everybody in the movie was like this right wing. Or I'm not a right wing. I'm just a normal guy. But, you know, there's things that that right wing people do that I think, okay, I can understand that. And there's things that left wing people do. I'm in the middle, whatever that is, centrist, libertarian.
Like, if they made a movie about World War II,
mm-hmm.
someone's got to play Hitler.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to play the bad guy. Somebody's got to play the good guy. There's
always
going to be an actor playing someone who you may or may not like.
Yes. Well,
Hitler's a bad example. Everyone dislikes Hitler. Sorry.
Yes, that was a weird morning, early morning example. But what you're saying is that the real problem with the movie was that people didn't know what they didn't think anything in the movie was true. And so the question is, what's truthful and what isn't truthful? And that's what we're fighting on right now. But there was multiple things I read from books that there were some true things in it. And then, you know, I don't, it's where we're at right now. Information wars.
You know what looks like a lot of fun that you do?
What?
Those fan cons.
Oh, dude, it's incredible.
Those look like a lot of fun.
Yes.
I think I've decided my goal in life is to be just famous enough to not have to stand in line at a fan con.
It's incredible. I'm honestly, dude, I'm not saying this either. I'm lucky. I'm blessed. Like, Scream has never been more popular. And I feel that everything that came out in the 90s is still relevant today because your generation laps it up, and then people make GIFs, and then they do memes, and it's replayed and rerun on different streamers, and people just want an experience when they meet somebody, and it's just been incredible.
It's amazing how things take a life of their own, mm-hmm. like in ways people would never expect, like a meme, for example. Yeah. No one 25 years ago would have thought.
No.
Everyone would be sharing a still image from a movie.
Yeah, like they'll take a scene from, like I did in Tremors, and they'll the gift, it'll do the repeating again. Like, yes sir, yes. Like there's a gift around me going, yes sir, yes sir, and it's like, it's crazy. They just make gifts and memes, and they just become viral.
Well, it looks like you had a good time at those.
Incredible.
What do people generally? Is it Scream these days that people know you from the most?
Well, now it's going to be with Scream, and then Malibu's, and then my show, The Experiment, Ghost Whisperer, Hardcore Fans Heckler, Son of the Mask, and then Tremors. That's kind of, and there's a lot of in between, but it's pretty much the basis.
I think it's interesting that that you're so well known as an actor, but you're such a good comic, too. I think that kind of gets foreshadowed. I don't think people think of you as comedian first.
No, they don't. I think it's getting better, but I did 3 specials. But I started as a comedian, and then I got more busy as an actor. So I understand why, and my acting things made bigger stink than my comedy. But like my Experiment show made a stink, but it wasn't stand-up comedy. But yeah, but now, I mean, the community knows, and, you know, a lot of people that come to clubs know, but, yeah, general pop still might not know I'm a comedian.
Don't sleep on Jamie Kennedy, thank folks. Four shows this weekend.
Yes.
Don't sleep. You get your tickets now at carlsoncomedy.com. And if you want to ask Jamie a question, you can text us right now, 585-484-0265. Speaking of the news, man, did you watch what happened to Chappelle the other night?
Of course.
Everybody in the world saw this. Is the stage like no longer a safe space? Like, what's going on? Have you, in your many years, seen anything like this?
No, not like this. Because, you know, there's actually 3 incidences that happening, and I talked about it in a pod on my YouTube channel. So Will Smith obviously started it, but I mean, you know, at such a big scale, right? And that was completely insane.
That was about as big of an audience. The only place you could have done it that would have been a bigger audience is like the Super Bowl or the presidential inauguration.
Exactly. So there was that. And then Chappelle, again, was at the Hollywood Bowl, like the mecca of like Hollywood glamour. And some guy gets in there with a knife. And that could have been horrific. And, you know, he's a big dude. And, you know, he brushed it off. He's incredible. But that's insane.
That was a pretty bad attempt at a spear. That guy was really trying to take him down, and Chappelle really backed up well.
Chappelle just got out of it really quickly. He's good like that. But people don't talk about this other one that happened, which was Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson goes to... No, I'm not talking about what you think. Yeah. Mike Tyson was at a comedy show like a month ago. And some guy wanted to meet him, and Mike was just watching the show. And the guy showed the audience that he had a gun. So you can look this up on YouTube. And Mike defused the situation. Was like, hey, man, and hugged the guy. And the guy hugged Mike, and then he left. But he had a gun. So this is where we're at. People are showing up to comedy shows with weapons. And it's insane. So I'm not worried. But the Chappelle thing, I was a little, for a second, I was like, am I going to have to, like, you know, worry about fighting here? Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's a really weird thing for somebody who's like a comedy veteran like you, who's been in playing clubs for the last couple of decades. You know the atmosphere of a comedy club. You know the general spirit that people come in to come see a show. It's a good mood. They want to laugh. They want to have a good time. It's just a little weird.
Yeah, I think because people are just more emboldened now. They're much more entitled. They think they know. They think their opinion. People's feelings are getting hurt. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they're like really, and they feel like they, because social media has empowered us to say what we feel, and because TikTok, and if you get views, you get reinforcement. So you feel like, oh, I'm important, which you are. We're all important. But it doesn't mean you have to be important at that moment. Like, you could, I was talking about this. Back in the day, if you didn't like somebody, you used to write a letter. You had to write a letter, and then you had to mail, and you had to lick the envelope, and then you had to put the letter in the mailbox. You had to mail your hate. I mean, by the time you mailed it, you might not have mailed it because you took time. There's no diffusing anymore. Instantly, you can do something, and that's just like insane.
I feel like the time that it took back in the day to write a letter,
yeah,
put a stamp on it, like you said, lick it, pop it in the mailbox,
mm-hmm.
is a lot. It's a lot more complicated than just that Twitter, hey, do you want to think about this for 5 seconds before you actually tweet it warning that they give out?
Yeah.
Like, there's a little bit more of a cool down period back in the day where you could think about what you're doing.
Yeah. I think it's only going to get worse. I think it's just people are just going to always feel emboldened, and this is where we're at, and more, and it's just, it's a weird time, for sure.
So, when people come to see you, Jamie, you're not a political guy. You're a centrist guy. You're a comedy guy.
I do some political jokes.
Are you doing some political stuff these days?
Just like little jokes. I mean, you can't not make jokes about Biden. I mean, people made so many jokes about Trump, but you can't, they don't make enough jokes about Biden. He shook a hand with a ghost the other day. He was like, hey, Casper, how are you? Hey, put it there, Casper. Like, he literally, there was nobody there. Every time the guy walks off the room, he walks into the wall. And it's like, people made fun of Trump. It's like, no one's talking. This guy's shaking hands with ghosts.
See, real comedians realize that the joke comes from just the shit that's funny.
I can't even do the jokes. The jokes are there. I'm just reporting. Like, it's insane. Like, I mean, it's just a little older. That's all I'm saying. I mean, people are like, there's going to be so much change. But what? We went from a 74-year-old orange man to a 78-year-old rosacea man. I mean, what are we talking about here?
You are not wrong.
But, you know.
It's nice to know that we have our choices of 70-year-olds.
Yeah. God bless America. Bro, how is America supposed to be this woke, progressive, technically advanced place? I had your disease right there.
Upper echelon of technology.
Yeah, how are we supposed to be technologically advanced, but yet we hire a stumbling geriatric to run it? Come on. I mean, why don't we put Queen Elizabeth in charge of TikTok?
I think they'd be a lot more formal.
Yeah, that's right.
Not as much fun. So, Jamie, are you working on any movies or anything right now? What are you doing these days?
I just did a movie. I actually was in in the new Scream. If you go watch it, there's a little moment I have. Did you see the new Scream?
I have not seen the new
Scream.
You're
in trouble.
Because you weren't in, like, on screen for it.
You're in trouble. No, I'm not. But there's like a nice little moment in there that refers to my character. So I was actually doing some press and like working with Scream stuff. But I did a movie about a guy, an independent movie, who wants to be a stand-up comedian, and he befriends me, who's an older stand-up comedian, and then it's hard pitch, but it's a really good movie, I think. And basically, the older guy realizes that the younger guy's a vampire. I know that sounds crazy, and he wants him to bite him so he can live long enough to be famous. And you're going, what kind of movie is that? But it's like Twilight meets a Jamie Kennedy movie. So there's like real moments in there, but it's cool. It's really a take on like what is your mortality and how do you face your mortality. So it's like a funny dramedy.
That's interesting.
It could be good. And that's right now.
So you play the vampire?
No, I play the older comic, and then a young great comic by the name of Matt Rife is the lead vampire. And you know, we made the movie a good size budget, and now we're trying to take it to Netflix and Hulu.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, but we'll see what happens.
All right.
But other than that, I'm trying to do other stuff. I guess things are totally open now. But, you know.
I don't think they are, though.
They're not. Like, certain movies, yeah, like only huge movies are coming out. Like the little ones have to go to streaming. So, but I have another movie I'm trying to do, but we have to wait.
What's your stance on that as someone who's made films and written stuff? Are you you're pro streaming stuff, or do you really feel like you want real distribution? Not that it's not real distribution, but old school distribution to a theater.
I think you can't stop it. I do think the movie theater, I mean, it's like Coachella, right? Like, you want to go to Coachella because you want that experience, right? You want to go to a music festival because you want to be amongst people. That's what we are. We're social creatures, right?
Right.
So I think movies are an extension of that. And I think if I want to go see the new Spider-Man, I don't want to stream it. I want to go in 4K and I want to sit there and I want to go all day. I want to see like two movies. So I think if movie theaters are like that, boom. But to go and see, you know, like a little dramedy, it's probably easier to consume it on your streaming.
It's probably, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm just assuming here that it's probably a little bit better for filmmakers in general.
Yeah.
Because like, if you're going to the movies and you're buying a ticket and there's like 10 movies to choose from, you're one of 10 movies. But now you're sitting on the couch and, you know, you watch one movie, but there's still like, you know, now there's 20.
Yeah, you'd be amazed like that.
But people come back and they keep choosing.
They do. And then, and like you said, like My Special Stupid Smart, like people watch that and now they'll watch something, an older movie I did, Kicking It Old School, or because Amazon Prime will feed them the next one. And so it's a great way to consume content. It's not going to go away. You know, I don't know if you're familiar with what Uber's talking about, but Ubers are going to be automated, not so far. And they're going to put TV screens everywhere. So like we're gonna be watching. Do you ever realize how much there's such a like? There's never been more video content in the history of our planet.
There's
a need for more. That's what's insane. We're basically in our phone.
It's an artificial need though.
But well, like, yeah, because it's like
there's somebody who's producing content for gas pumps right now,
and it does well. Who books that gas pump?
I've been trying to find out.
You know what I'm saying? They pay well. But what I'm saying is, you're right. You could be a gas pump star. And it just, the idea of sitting in a room in a doctor's office and looking at the wall or reading the highlight magazine is gone. You know what I'm saying? It's adapt or die. And right now we're going to be in our phones forever.
Let me get your take on this. I was talking to Faison Love. He was on the show a couple weeks ago and I asked him a question. And he went down a rabbit trail about movie theaters. And he thinks that Amazon is going to buy all the movie theaters. And that if you have an Amazon subscription, you could just walk right in and go see what you want to see in the theater, order your popcorn, order your stuff all through the Amazon, everything.
That's a brilliant take. That is a brilliant take.
I thought so too. It's been chewing
around. Wow. Did he come up with that or was that floating? That's brilliant. I'm going to tell you why. I think I agree with him. Mm-hmm. Because there's stores right now you can walk in Amazon Fresh and you don't have to do anything. You can just take the stuff. And it knows you're there. So that's just another extension of their reach. Why not? Amazon popcorn, Amazon soda. Yeah. That's a wow.
Dude, does it blow your mind for a second?
Well, 100%. You could even extend because I just think about it with food and products, but like you could do, Amazon could do the same thing with a hotel, right? You could go in and like just walk into a Hilton, it's an Amazon, and you don't ever have to check in because it knows. You know what I'm saying? So I could see that with the movie theaters. I think that's a very good take.
You know, I forgot to ask you this earlier.
Go for it.
Did you play Jerry Heller?
I did. Jerry Heller. I was just talking about that on the radio show. And he's from here. I think he's from here. Yeah,
yeah, he's from up here. For those of you who don't know, he was the gentleman who helped get, was it
Jerry Easy Heller here? He was the founder of...
Holy cow, The Voice. That's hysterical.
I'm trying to do him. He was like, because you guys have like a Chicago, but your own thing accent. I was trying to figure it out. But Jerry Heller was the co-founder of, I want to say, not Ruthless Records. It was NWA and Dr. Dre and him.
Yeah.
They had a record label. I want to say Death Row. No, it wasn't Death Row. Maybe it was the one before it.
Was it Bad Boy Records?
That was way later. But Jerry, yeah, so there was Straight Outta Compton.
Yep.
And then there was a Lifetime movie version of it. And I tried to do this joke earlier, but it doesn't work on the radio. Lifetime only makes movies for two types of people. Okay. Women and date rapists looking for pointers. Good morning. And so when I, it's hard to do that on the radio.
You know how we just how you just got like your mind was blown by the Amazon thing?
Yeah.
You're right.
You're right, right.
You are 100% correct.
So I did the Jerry Heller version of that for Lifetime. And he was the guy. Basically, the movie's about a woman named Michelet, who was a huge star under their record label, and how her and Dre had a very, I'll just say, tumultuous relationship.
Interesting.
But Jerry was from here, and I got to wear the white wig, and I had sideburns, and Jerry was the guy. So he was behind, I'm becoming Jerry. He was the guy who was like the business mind. Oh, he saw that rap was going to be huge. And he worked with them. I could do this all day.
I don't understand how actors can go so freely in and out of characters like that, because I know that mentally you kind of have to prepare for a role.
Yeah. I mean, you do and you don't. For me, I'm always like a mimic. You know what I mean? So okay. You said something that I was very fond of. And obviously, I'm in Rochester, and you are a very unique place, and you have a unique sound to your voices.
Sure.
So Jerry comes into my brain simply, and I like to express myself, so that's what happened.
So to you, what makes for like a performance when you have to play someone? Like, is it an imitation? How do you put your own spin on it? I mean, I'm just wondering, because like playing someone who everybody knows, like a Jerry Heller,
that's harder because it's more pressure, because people want to know. You got to match it, you know what I mean? That's why I like someone like Jay Farrow is so brilliant, and Frank Caliendo, and Jeff Richards, you know, and because when they do an impression, it's so spot on.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. It's musical, you know, like it's to do impressions is to me the greatest form of acting, because they're exact copies of the people, but they embody them. So acting, if you do a character that people don't know, people like it because you become this real thing under imaginary circumstances. So acting is just, you know, committing, really. But it's easier if you don't know the character, because then you kind of make your own. There's less expectations.
Well, yeah. Like, you don't have to. If somebody said, okay, you're going to play an older gentleman who runs a rap label,
yeah,
your brain could go a lot of different ways. But well, then they say, no, you're playing Jerry Heller.
Yes.
It's something completely different.
Yeah, I would watch it. I think a good performance, it's not just an imitation. It's embodying that person. There's a spirit of the person. And there's people that may not exactly sound like a person, but they put their own spin on it, and it's just so engaging that you like to watch it. But
that's what I think happened with like Daniel Day-Lewis in that Lincoln movie. Because, like, nobody knows what Abraham Lincoln sounded like, how he talked,
but
what
you
his
believed
cadences
it.
Are. Right?
You believed it. Yeah. I'm like, I believe that's how Lincoln talked. Yeah, is there any recorded history of Lincoln talking?
Daniel Day-Lewis is such a good actor. He could get my, like, Social Security number out of me if he called me and told me he was the IRS.
Yeah,
like, that guy's good.
Well, yeah, he's probably the top. He was probably the top, the greatest actor.
We got a great comment that came in about your show last night. Had a blast last night. Laughed so hard I almost had a stroke. If you don't already have tickets for the weekend shows, get one. It was really nice to meet you, Jamie Kennedy. A gentleman by the name of Big Daddy Fats.
Oh, Big Daddy. I woke up thinking Big Daddy Fats, dude. First of all, you don't want to laugh so hard you get a stroke. It's a stroke-free show.
That's the problem.
Big Daddy, B-I-2-G's, Fats. I signed his poster, and I thought I smeared it, so I felt bad. But he had a good time, so there, Big Daddy, you must be happy with the poster.
Yeah, too. Man. So, Jamie, tonight you got two shows. Tomorrow night you got two shows.
Yeah.
You're happy to be back in Rochester?
Dude, I could do a week here. I love it here.
We'd let you do a month, man.
I would. I honestly, I've been traveling so much, and like so much is going on in my life. And like when everything opened up, I got slammed, but I would like to get things caught up, and then I just want to take each city week by week, and this is one of the great cities I enjoy.
Well, we love having you here. And before you go this morning, I know you got a lot on your plate today. I wanted to ask you this question because, again, to get back to this, you've done so many different things. Stand-up, mm-hmm. acting, you know, you're broadcasting, doing podcasts. And mm-hmm. your podcast, like I said, is a lot better than a lot of comedians' podcasts that I've heard.
Oh, that's really nice of you, bro.
Well, it's
that's
my opinion.
Very sweet of you. Thank you.
That's my honest opinion. I like it. If you had to decide, like, This is kind of a morbid question, but when you go, what do you think you want to be remembered for?
Guy's fucking killing me.
I just want to know, what do you want to be remembered
hey,
for?
Hey, Jamie, you want to die before you die. You don't want me to go really in on this?
Would you like to play me in the movie? Because I think you just nailed it.
Dude, you know what's crazy? You think about this. Somebody just told me this. Is that, well, first of all, I'm trying not to die.
Sure, but I mean, this is going to be a legacy.
I'm going to give you your answer, and I'm going to give my answer. Your answer is what I'd like people to say. He was a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, I like Jamie. He was funny. You know, he made a mark. And like, when people say my name, it worked. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
People remember it. But I was talking to somebody recently who was very, I forget who it is. And they're more known than me. I really do forget who it is. And they said, when you die, doesn't matter what you did because you're gone. And I swear, bro, it was this moment in time where I was like lightning bolt. I was like, they're like, do you ever think about you're doing all this stuff? Like, so when you die, your name lives on, but you're not even there. Like, who the fuck knows what happens? So it was a way for them to say, enjoy your life more. And I do think sometimes, like, I've been very fortunate in the last 25 years, 26 years, I've made a mark, and hopefully I'll keep going. But if I don't, you know, I think I've done enough where definitely been a part of some cool things. So, but I know I'm not going to get all, I do really want to be known as a person who's like a good dude. You know what I mean? But yeah, obviously you want to be known as you did something good.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, the advice there is stop and smell the roses.
Yeah,
be thankful.
Smell the roses.
Be happy. Yep. Live in the moment.
Pandemic really taught me like that. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I want to, like, I had pizza three times this week. Margarita.
That's it?
Pepperoni. And then a barbecue chicken. And I was like, I haven't eaten this much pizza in a while. And it's because I'm living life. And I don't give a shit that there's a lot of carbs. I like a good pizza. I like meatballs. I like Chinese food. I know it's a little high in fat. But you know what? I'm lucky. So that's what I'm doing. Enjoy your life.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, four more opportunities to see Jamie Kennedy this weekend at the Carlson. Tickets are on sale now, carlsoncomedy.com. And do us a favor. Check out Jamie Kennedy, his new special, Stupid Smart. It's on Amazon Prime, right?
Yep, and also Tubi, and yeah.
I believe you could also get it on Apple Music mm-hmm. and wherever you listen to comedy albums. Check that out. It's a funny special. And Jamie, I just thank you for your time this morning, man. I wish you the best, and break a leg the rest of the weekend.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much.
No problem, man. I'm always thrilled to have you. We'll be back next weekend with Helen Keeney. So until then, act right, Rochester, and we will see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget, we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.